Today is Friday, August 17th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. By this time next month, officials at the University of Alaska Southeast in Sitka hope to be showing off a remodeled campus. A nearly $4 million renovation is underway at the building, which was once a World War II airplane hangar. KCAW's Ed Ronco took a tour of the work in progress with campus director Jeff Johnston.
It is not easy to give a tour in a construction zone.
All right, so we're at the top of the stairs with the second floor, so this is up. This is a hallway I was telling you.
But Jeff Johnston is trying his hardest to show off the new career and technical education space at the University of Alaska Southeast Sitka campus. It has been a busy few months.
The sheetrockers were here, the painters were here. Now the electrician's finishing up, and then the high-tech people will be here to put in cameras and all of that.
A dimly lit hangar where woodworking and welding classes are held is now bright. The campus replaced its old mercury vapor emergency lights with new fluorescent lighting. A single 52-watt bulb now does the work of three 400-watt mercury lamps that once burned 24 hours a day. There are better systems for keeping the air clean in areas where sawdust and soot might be flying around. Extension cords are gone, replaced by spools dangling from the ceiling. And the plans call for the installation of a new renewable energy lab.
If we wanted to do a low-head hydro project, if we wanted to look at wood pellets, if we wanted to look at cold climate construction, we can reconfigure this.
But the centerpiece of this renovation, and one of the biggest reasons the space here is changing, has to do with the internet.
And we're up to about 70 to almost 80% of our students are not in Sitka.
Online learning has become a huge part of what UAS does, and it is reflected in the new designs. At the center of the building, on the second level, is a 200-person exhibition hall with video conferencing capabilities. At the moment, this room is studs, I-beams, and sheetrock, but soon it will be very high-tech.
What are they, 12-foot screens side by side? One for presentation, one for video conference? And then there'll be one big 16-foot screen in the middle that'll come down if you're just going to have a presentation or a show.
Very cool.
Have a big podium we can take a look at. It'll be over in the corner.
Right now, the room UAS uses for video conferencing starts to feel cramped around 80 people. Johnston says the move toward online learning is more than just gee whiz technology. It allows his campus to reach more students in isolated places. It could also mean more in-person opportunities for Sitka. For example, there might not be enough people in Sitka to put 25 people in a particular class.
But if we can put four or five in a local class, and at the same time, via video conferencing, bring three from Petersburg and two from Wrangell and whatever via the video conference, we can have that local experience or opportunity for the students and plus serve students in some of the outlying communities. So that's our latest venture.
Johnston says the changes to the building will make all of those things easier. About $3 million of the campus renovation is from the Federal Department of Education. The rest, about $800,000, comes from the state to handle safety and code issues. Johnston says this is probably the largest project the campus has done in the last 7 years. UAS Sitka is hoping to have its remodel ready to show off at a September 21st open house. That will likely include a brief ceremony and the unveiling of some student artwork, including six totems for the outside of the building. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
We're going to take you now to Tanaki Springs, where for many residents, life revolves around the community bathhouse. It's fed by the hot springs that gave the town its name. Now, local people have raised money to convert the building to geothermal heat, putting a modern spin on an ancient resource. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports.
That's not a church choir, and this isn't a concert hall. It's the Bathhouse Babes singing in the community bathhouse in Tanaki Springs. Tanaki Springs has a population of about 100 people in summer, just 40 in winter. The bathhouse sits in the heart of town. It's a concrete cube with a cloudy skylight. The space is humid and archaic feeling. The cement walls drip. They're covered with green mineral stains, and the water is 108 degrees. Attached to the bathhouse is a modest dressing room. The whole structure is small enough that you might walk past without noticing. But the hot spring is the entire reason that there's a town here at all.
In other communities, there's other ways that people gather around the local coffee house or the local brew pub or whatever, you know.
Wendy Stern has lived in Tenneke for over a decade.
In Tenneke, we really gather at the bathhouse, you know.
One of the first things you say to someone who's come to town is, did you get a bath?
That's Vicki Weisenbaugh, the postmistress.
People have bath bags, which is not something you have hanging by the door in modern America. Modern America, you don't usually bathe with your neighbors.
There's no municipal water system, and electricity is supplied by a set of diesel generators. Heating water is expensive. So the community bathhouse isn't a spa or a recreational hot tub. It's where people bathe. This is Mayor Don Pegues.
Just bring your bath bag and a towel and be prepared.
Prepared for what?
Yeah, well, for visiting with your neighbors in the bathhouse. No bathing suits. Everything is nude.
But a couple years ago, people in Tenneke realized that the bathhouse could use some work. For one thing, the dressing room was heated with a diesel furnace, which was expensive. The bathhouse is maintained by the Tenneke Springs Bathhouse Committee, an ad hoc group of local people who pay the heating bill and hire a custodian. For years, the bathhouse committee had discussed using the water from the bath itself to heat the dressing room. But they didn't want to mess with the magic. Brooke Elgee is the chairman of the bathhouse committee.
Story goes that one time somebody thought they could deepen it with a little dynamite, tried to deepen it with a little dynamite, and the water stopped. Fortunately, it started up again. But, man, you don't mess with the bathhouse here.
And then, about 4 years ago, Kevin and Carlene Allred moved to Tenneke Springs. Allred saw the potential for geothermal heat right away.
I was just amazed to look at all these springs coming out, and I thought, wow, you could use this heat for heating structures.
Allred experimented with his own house first, using a hot spring that runs down the hill out back to create the first geothermal heat system in Tenneke Springs. Then he turned to the dressing room. At first, he thought he'd use the wastewater that runs out from the bath, but that didn't work. Because it's bathwater. So it has all kinds of stuff in it, like hair and soap. Anyway, it clogged up his system. Around this time, Allred was doing some basic repairs on the dressing room foundation. And while he was down there, he found a new hot spring. In fact, he found 7 new springs that nobody had known were there.
I go, whoa, this is a lot better because I can rig something up right underneath the structure.
So he set about creating a geothermal heating system. First, he built what he calls a spring box. It's just a concrete box. The small springs flow into it, filling it with hot water, and then flow out of it. In the spring box is a coil of steel tubing.
It's called a heat exchanger. An immersion heat exchanger, and it just sits in this bath of hot water, and then what you do...
That coil of steel tubing will be filled with water. The water will run through the tubing in the spring box, picking up heat from the spring water. From there, the tubing will run up into the dressing room, carrying the heated water under the floorboards.
That heat radiates up out of the floor.
And it's enough to heat the whole room. But in order for geothermal heat to work, the structure has to be well insulated. And the dressing room wasn't. This is Brooke Elgee.
Well, in order to insulate, you got to do some structural work. And it turns out the wall was rotten. And it turned out some other stuff was a problem. And the roof was a disaster. All of a sudden, we're looking at, $35,000, $40,000.
We're looking at about over $53,000.
That's Vicki Weisenbaugh, the postmistress. She's also the president of the Tenneke Historical Collection. Normally, the bathhouse is funded by donations. Visitors come and leave $10 here, $20 there. This was on a whole different scale. So the Tenneke Historical Collection took up the cause. And in June, they sent out 165 letters asking for donations. And just like that, the money started coming in.
You know, I used to go pick up mail at the post office and say, oh, we got $800 more!
In all, they raised $15,000 this summer and over $26,000 from individual donations in the past 2 years. But why go to all this trouble over a little bathhouse? Locals say it's because the bathhouse is what makes Tenneke, Tenneke.
But in a place where you have to be so careful with, you know, your energy usage and your water and everything else, you have to be so kind of restrictive because, you know, everything's in such limited supply. Here's this, like, and you know, feels like this, which of course is not true, but, you know, this endless supply of hot water that just pours up out of the ground.
That's Darius Menino, who runs the local bakery.
It feels so decadent and, like, luxurious, right? That's how I see it.
Okay, but it's time to ask the obligatory outsider's question. Isn't it strange to see your neighbors naked in the bath all the time? This is Wendy Stern.
You know, it isn't. I mean, but I'm an old hippie, so I don't know. Ask the Mormon, I don't know.
I just go back to my days in high school.
You know, one thing that I think is really cool, so we have all these little girls, and they bathe with women, young women, old women, and everyone in between, and they see women's bodies transforming and aging, how women's bodies change after pregnancy, how we age in a way that's, you know, you're not going to see in Vogue magazine.
Sure enough, around 8 o'clock one night, there are a dozen women in the bath, ranging in age from 6 to 60, and about half of them are singing. Reporting in Tenneke, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
Governor Sean Parnell has ordered that state flags be flown at half-staff today in honor of the late Representative Michael Byrne. Byrne died last month at the age of 86. Parnell says Byrne was a gifted doctor whose dedication to advancing medical services and personnel in Alaska remains one of his legacies. Byrne established the first blood bank of Alaska and founded the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. Byrne served two stints in the state legislature. He served one term following his election in 1967, and he served from 1975 to 1981 after initially being appointed to the seat vacated by Anchorage Representative Tom Fink. KCAW in Sitka.